kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Bago natin simulan ang lahat, nais naming kilalanin ang mga traditional na nagmamay-ari ng malupain na kinatatayuan ng aming himpilan, kung saan binuo ang podcast na ito. Nagbibigay galang ang SBS Filipino sa mga Camaragal people ng Guringay Nation at nakatatandang miyembro ng kanilang komunidad noon at ngayon. Kinikilala rin namin ang mga traditional owner mula sa lahat ng lupain na mga Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, kung saan naroon ang aming mga tagapakinig. Mula sa mga Filipino na bumubuo ng SBS Audio, ito ang aming handog para kilalanin ang sagradong ugnayan ng mga Filipino at Indigenous Australians. Ito ang Indigenoy.
When I was very little, I grew up on my mother's homeland, a place called Groote Island and Bigoton Island, which is in the Gulf of Carpentaria in Northern Territory. And I think singing started really from my father and also my mother's side. You know, my father being a Filipino man, as you know, we have our karaoke parties. And so one day I got up and my Lola turned around and said that I was a nice singer. And I think that kind of just like kicked in the energy for wanting to become a singer. I think my family were very, very supportive of me and, you know, starting that journey. So when I moved to Brisbane, to Meanjin, I was 6.5 years old, and my father moved us from Groote Island to Brisbane. And yeah, and then I just started songwriting, and songwriting was kind of where it all started for me.
Buong pagmamalaking ibinahagi ng Wanindilyagwa at Filipino-Bisayan woman na si Emily Waramara kung paano hinubog ng mayamang kultura ng kanyang mamagulang ang kanyang pagsisimula sa pagkanta at musika. Lumaki siyang mulat sa parehong kultura, dalawang kulturang nagpalaki at nagbigay inspirasyon sa kanya.
Music as well, culturally, from both traditions, from both cultures, music plays such a huge part integrally. You know, our people have been practicing music for generations, and it's in the environment. It's, we're surrounded by it, and so I feel like I'm just doing what my ancestors have done, but in a more modern time and in a modern way.
So aside from your parents and from your family, is there anyone who inspired you or influenced you in your type of songs?
Look, I'm a songwriter. I am self-taught in 4 instruments, piano, key, guitar, and ukulele. And I also play the saxophone, the clarinet, and I am trying to learn how to play the drums. And so I feel like I'm very inspired by not just Western music or modern music, but also world music and instrument, like classical music, things that have instruments and instrumentation. I think, you know, music for me is all about the feeling, and if it feels good, it feels good. But one of my earliest inspirations would be artists like, you know, Bob Marley, Billie Holiday, Etta James, Fleetwood Mac, I think. Really old school. I just feel like it all starts with the story, and if you can capture someone with the story, that's pretty powerful.
How important is it for you to tell your story, your community's story, through your song?
Thank you for that question. I think it's really crucial because, you know, storytelling is a part of existence. It's a part of human. It's a part of the human existence. And I think it's really special when you can write about your truths, your vulnerabilities. I find that is a superpower, and that's a strength that I try to tap into a lot of time, especially when it comes to songwriting, because your truth is your power. And I think when you are able to stand in that power and move forward with integrity, with strength, with realness, which I try to move in this space with, because I have such a beautiful family that are both supportive from both my Indigenous heritage and my Filipino heritage. I'm very privileged to have that support behind me. And so moving through this space is knowing that I have a responsibility to my ancestors, but also the future generations. And I don't take that very lightly, I take that very seriously because, in this country, growing up in this country as an Indigenous woman, there was also that lack of representation and understanding in these spaces of what we could do. And as storytellers, that's really powerful to move through this space and be vulnerable, because it can be very hard and challenging.
In terms of you doing your songwriting, do you also consult with anyone? Because I know that you're also telling your community's story, isn't it?
Oh, yes, especially when I'm writing, in language, or I'm writing from a perspective that has or needs perspective and needs experience behind. There is wisdom, I think, in being able to approach others and be able to take, I wouldn't say it's not criticism to me, it's being able a chance, like having a chance to grow and to be better than the version that I am, because, that's what we're all working towards, the best version of ourselves. And so yeah, I don't really feel like everything I do is solo. There are many instances in my songwriting where I will approach, especially elders and people who, again, have more knowledge and understanding of the topics or whatever I'm singing about, or have more experience in that area. But it's really important to get perspective, because sometimes perspective is what you need when it comes to songwriting. You need that perspective to understand the different angles, the emotions, because, we're all at different levels and stages of being human and existing in this world.
Ipinanganak sa Groot Island ng inang Aboriginal Australian at amang Pilipino na mula Negros Occidental sa Pilipinas. Si Emily Waramara ay isa lamang sa iilan na Aboriginal Australian artists na may dugong Pilipino, isang tinig na bumabagtas sa dalawang mundo.
We'll go a little bit personal. I know that you've mentioned your dad is Filipino and your mom is Indigenous Aboriginal Australian, but how was it growing up in that multicultural household?
Look, it was definitely that. I mean, in my family, it was balanced. Everyone knew who I was, and being that little girl. But it was definitely fun. There was a lot of good food. I just remember my childhood. My Lola worked at a bakery on Groot Island, and so she would always be at the bakery cooking food and bringing them back, and we'd come back and have just parties, and she'd play mahjong, and we'd just have these parties and eat amazing food and do karaoke. And there'd be like my Indigenous family a part of that as well. So that was really, really special growing up that way. And then, when in turn we'd go fishing and we'd go camping and hunting, and my dad would join. And my dad grew up on Groot Island. When he was 14, he moved from Philippines with my Lola. And then my mum and him were best friends, and suddenly it was like, bam, they're in love. And, I was the first, I'm the eldest child in my family. And so my grandfather on my mum's side, my pop, would call us the little Philorigines. They were the Philorigines of the community. And it was really cool. And then when I moved to the city, I don't think it really hit me how different I would feel, because when we were in my community, it was accepted, that I was Aboriginal and Filipino. I feel like when I got to the city, a lot of people found it difficult to understand that I was also Filipino. And so a lot of the Filipino community that I would, like in high school, I'd have to bring my dad along and be like, well, no, this is my dad, and he's actually from the Philippines. Like, he was born in Lakalota in Negros, Occidental. Like, he's Filipino. And so that I found challenging growing up. And it wasn't until, I was older where I was able to fully embrace that identity and embrace, that even though I'm a darker woman, I am also an Aboriginal Filipino woman, and I have to live in these two worlds, and navigating that can be sometimes quite challenging. So it means a lot that you guys reached out and have been supportive of my career, because I've been representing as a Filipino woman from the beginning. That's something that I've never been ashamed of. So thank you very much for supporting this space. It really means a lot.
Can just say that we're very proud of you being a Filipino Aboriginal and representing both communities.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really big for me having to, be a part of this and be feel like, accepted into the Filipino community. I'm learning so much about my Filipino heritage and getting back and reconnecting with my family over the last couple of years has been huge, and has in turn allowed me to understand who I am as a Visayan woman in this space and what I can contribute to the decolonization of Indigenous people and family over in Philippines.
When you were navigating that space where it was challenging for you to like introduce yourself or for people to really accept that you have that Filipino heritage, how did you address it?
I think it was more so was how do I feel it? How do I feel that and can sit with that and not feel like I'm not this or I'm not that? It was my father who is like, kept me on my toes, and I am very grateful that I have a strong Filipino family. Like, I was born into a strong Filipino family, where they loved and accepted me no matter what, because I just kind of shrugged it off and was like, well, I am who I am, and I'm proud of that.
Lumaki sa Groot Island, si Emily ay nanatili sa lugar hanggang siya'y 6 na taong gulang. Sa naging census noong 2001, naiulat na mayroong 0.5% ng populasyon sa Groot Island ang nagsasalita ng Tagalog o Filipino. Sa kabila ng mga pinagdaanang pagsubok at hindi pagtanggap ng ilang membro ng Filipino community sa pagiging Pilipino ni Emily, natutunan niyang yakapin ng buo ang kanyang pagkakakilanlan bilang isang Filipino Aboriginal woman at mas napatatag niya ang kanyang pagkatao at ambag niya sa pagkilala at pagpapagaling ng dalawang kulturang kanyang pinagmulan.
You mentioned earlier about your lola cooking variety of food. Is there any particular Filipino food that is your favorite?
My favorite is she used to cook this with pork, but pork adobo is my favorite, and always pork. I don't know why, but pork, everything was pork. And I get it now as I'm older. I'm like, you know what? I'll go to the store and I'll pick up pork, and I'll, sinigang as well is one of my favorites, that I love. I love drinking the sinigang soup and tamarind. Like, I feel like there are very big similarities with Indigenous cuisines, and Filipino food. Like, we love rice. And for example, my father, if I tripped and I was like, nothing happened, he would say, well, you're not bleeding rice. And so it
You're
made everything.
alive.
Yeah, you're alive. You're fine. It's blood. Oh, it's not rice. You're fine.
Yeah. You mentioned about your dad singing, but did he ever teach you any Filipino song or did you learn any Filipino song?
I actually am obsessed. So my father, he used to sing like all these Filipino love songs, and there's this band, I think they're called Anak,
The
and
song Anak.
the band is called Asin. But that was like, that song for me is like a core song. A friend of mine actually reintroduced me to the band, and I was like, whoa, I know this song. But yeah, it's a really beautiful song, and I maybe one day we'll cover it, and I'd love to go back to Philippines and collaborate with Filipino artists over there. My co-producer Kuya James is Filipino. I work a lot with him, and so we're hoping to make a trip maybe sometime soon, you never know, over to the Philippines to work with some artists over there in Indigenous languages, because I feel like the cross collaboration just makes sense.
It does. And you mentioned going back, so it means that you've been there before?
I have. I went to Philippines for my tita's wedding when I was 14. It was the only time I've ever been to Philippines. And it was the first time that I met my Lolo, my dad's dad. And that was really special. Beautiful memories there. And I can't, I just, yeah, I'm so excited to go back. My Lola and my dad reside over in Philippines. They're in La Carlota City. And so it'd be great to go back soon and see them and hang out with the fam.
So, a possibility of writing song in Filipino?
Most definitely. I feel like we've got to make it happen.
We will be waiting for that.
Well, me too. I'm excited.
Yeah. I know that you have a daughter. How did your multicultural background influence you in any way, in your lifestyle, in raising her?
Family is everything for me, and so that loyalty to family, I'm trying to instill those values of family, love, kinship. I just think, because she's so young as well, she's starting to have this understanding of, oh, I'm made up of all of this, but it's still me. And so still trying to make sense and also make sense of this world together because it's so ever changing in hers. But I feel like, yeah, at the moment I'm just instilling the pride of who she is and where she come from and being able to maintain relationships and have connections with both sides of my family. And that's really integral into, I guess, who she will be as a woman.
Sa bawat himig, bitbit ang kwento ng lahi, ang tibok ng lupang ninuno at ang init ng pusong Pilipino. Buong pagmamalaki, iwinawagayway ang kagandahan ng pagkakaugnay, ang dugong indigenous Australian at Filipino na magkasabay dumadaloy sa kanilang mga ugat. Bumubuo ng iisang awit, awit ng pagkakakilanlan, pagmamahal at pagkakaisa. Ito ang Indigenoy.
Never be afraid to stray off the path. Never be afraid to be different. Never be afraid to be weird. And never be afraid to be you. Because from what I've learned and from my experiences so far in this space and in this industry, or just in life in general, the right people will be around you for you. And that's more, I feel like that's just so much better because then you don't have to put a mask on, you don't have to hide, you don't have to move through this space and feel uncomfortable. You can be you, and I think we need more of that. It's especially right now, we need people's magic and wisdom and uniqueness in this space to really rattle up the systems and everything that's happening throughout the world, throughout the self. And so that would probably be it. Never stop being you.
So authenticity is very important for you.
Oh, it's most certainly. I've lived a career and a life where people, I feel like, as a person showing up, you feel like you have to change because of society's expectations. But then I've come to realize and understand that I've created and I have created a village of my own and my own community that is a reflection of who I am as a person, and I'd rather live in that society than the one that is trying to mold me to be something that I'm not.
Nais niyo bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify o sa iba pang podcast apps.